This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We start the day today with an issue that we have been tracking throughout the pandemic, hunger and food insecurity. 1.6 million people in the Commonwealth report that they are now struggling to get enough to eat. That is an increase of 55% from 2019 to 2020. The data is from a new report by the Greater Boston Food Bank. It raises the count of those hungry in Massachusetts by 600,000 over a report that was released last November by a national hunger group. It also shows that people are reticent to get help, even where it's available. Joining us now, Catherine D'Amato, CEO of the Greater Boston Food Bank. Catherine, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Tiziana.
It's great to have you. Catherine, I'm going to start just by asking you, that total number, did it surprise you?
Yes, we were very surprised by it. It speaks just to the prevalence, right, of this issue, which I know you personally know very well, given some of your previous work, that, you know, we were looking, but we didn't expect to see the prevalence of food security so high, yet it makes sense given COVID and all of the factors, all of the consequences, all of the implications that families and individuals have found themselves in these last 12, 14 months.
So that suggests, listening to you there, Catherine, that this is not as straightforward as pandemic unemployment driving this change.
Yeah, well, we're really, you know, we understand that there are gaps and disparities in food assistance. And what we also learned a lot about beyond the one in three number, clearly just seeing that, you know, while one in three food insecure adults exist, they do use a pantry. But that surprised us, that why not more? And then the one in two food insecure adults enrolled in SNAP, why not more? Those were two very perplexing questions for us. But clearly COVID played a role in these significant historic numbers.
So let's stay with that. Do you have theories or hypotheses about what is making people reticent to access supports even when they're there?
Sure. I mean, we do understand that the barriers to food access, which were revealed in the report, I mean, they were clearly affirmed, but in a more significant way, that the desire to be self-reliant and the stigma, I mean, Tiziana, the stigma came through over and over again. The last one was the barriers about the misunderstanding of eligibility requirements. Now, we often think that the barriers to eligibility are related to federal programs. But what we found was there was confusion around eligibility to go to a pantry. And so that is something that we're going to need to do some very specific work on: education, promotion, helping people understand that these resources are here for them and that they can safely go to a food pantry. They can safely go to a meal program in order to get what they need.
Catherine, with those numbers, some of our listeners likely are also experiencing food insecurity. What are people's misperceptions about what they qualify for? And can you debunk some of that sort of specifically now? Is it around identification, paperwork, income levels?
Yeah, well, there are definitely, you know, I don't qualify, I work, you know, we've heard that before. I work, you know, or I own a home, or I'm able to, you know, pay most of my bills, but not all of my bills. Sometimes it can be fear, right? A fear if there's any issue around immigration, that I'm afraid if I go, they'll know. I mean, we saw that a lot with other federal programs as well. There also is some essence of, I don't want my neighbors to see me. I don't want my children to know. I don't, you know, I can provide for myself. That strength around self-reliance, you know, and to be able to, I should be able to take care of my family. When in fact, you can be two working adults, you know, making over $100,000, you could still be struggling in the greater Boston area, or you can be in Western Massachusetts or Central Mass and have inability in a car to get to a pantry if you live outside the cities. So this was just been able to help us really hone in and try to do better at understanding the why, Tiziana, and then be able to break those barriers down. I do want to note that the study did find disproportionate impact on people of color. You know, this is something we knew, but now we know. I mean, the power of being able to have, you know, data-driven insights into how we, you know, what is actually happening. So those numbers were also quite significant. You know, 58% of Latinx adults, 40% of Black adults, 20%, 26% of Asian adults, you know, were 24% of White adults. These were all, you know, disparities that existed before the pandemic, but now they are much more significant.
So how broad are the resources now, right now, for food insecurity in Massachusetts? And how do you think they stack up against the size of the problem as you've scoped it out here in this survey?
Well, that's, you know, our job is we've got to decrease the stigma around accessing food assistance and then decrease the inequities in food access. Those are two very clear recommendations that the report puts forward. You know, there's some programmatic ones. Tiziana, how do you focus on the awareness, engagement, equitable distribution? You know, there are significant resources in our state. Doesn't mean that everybody can get to them or that they're the right thing. But, you know, if you are listening or you need some assistance, you can go to gbfb.org/needfood. We'll do our best to get you connected to a local resource in your community that can be of direct help. Also, our Mass 211 is incredibly specific across the state. There are thousands and thousands of agencies listed. You just dial 211 and they will do their best to help you identify in your community, all 351 towns of Massachusetts. The last is we encourage people to seek out the Project Bread Food Source Hotline. It's an excellent resource. They can very quickly walk you through your eligibility for SNAP and for other federal nutrition programs. It's just families don't believe necessarily they're eligible. Why is my kids eligible to get a school lunch and a school breakfast, or I'm eligible for the WIC program? They may not even know there is a WIC program. So these are the programmatic recommendations that are available, and we'll be happy to make that available to you and your team so it can be posted on your website.
We will post it on the website. Thank you. That's Catherine D'Amato, CEO of the Greater Boston Food Bank. Catherine, thanks for the report, and thanks for talking with us about it today.
Christiana, you're very welcome.